No, well, I want to just share something this tonight that's close to my heart, and that's do a little bit of teaching as well on the subject of praise. Now, maybe it's because I'm a musician and I just like to release praise to God. But something I have noticed in years of pastoring, years of being involved in church work, is that, and I think you'll agree, it's evident in every church, I'm sure, is that when we come to praise, sometimes there's so few people, and they tend to drift in during the praise time, after the praise time. You know, I've heard it said on one occasion, oh, that's just the praise time. You know, that's not important. That's not an important part of the, you know, we've come to hear the Word of God. And while I agree with some of what they're saying, you know, the Word of God is important. The Word of God is what we need to grow. There's also an importance placed on praise. You know, we must praise. You know, I just want to read to you some scriptures. Well, not scriptures, it's just some things that I've taken from the scriptures about praise. Psalm 92 says that praise is good. It's good to praise. It's good for us. Another scripture, and I just quickly penned these down while I was in the hotel room, so the reference has gone from my memory at the moment, but it says that praise is comely for the upright. You know, it's becoming for us to praise and give glory to God. Various scriptures throughout the Psalms and throughout the New Testament command us to praise. You know, we should be a praising people. Psalm 18 tells us that God is worthy of our praise. He is worthy. And then in Psalm 48, and these are just a few, you know, there's many more, says He is greatly to be praised. He is greatly to be, you know, God is worth praising. You know, I'm so thrilled to be involved in the praise time this morning. You know, what an awesome time we had as we came and we released praise and worship to God. You know, it's good. It's comely. It's commanded. He is worthy of it. And the Bible says that He is great and greatly to be praised. Well, I want to just take a scripture tonight. Sorry, when I come in, I packed my pocket Bible for ease of carrying. And I need my glasses to read it. We're going to turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 12. Isaiah 12. And I just want to go through this chapter, verse by verse, and just see what the Bible says about praise. It starts off in verse 1, it says, In that day you will say, O Lord, I will praise you. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day, you will say, Praise the Lord. Call upon His name. Declare His deeds among the peoples. Make mention that His name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for He has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. You know, this little I must confess that my Bible here gives each various headings throughout the chapters, and my own. I detest Bibles that break it down into sections like that and give it little headings. But I suppose it makes it easier to read sometimes. But I find when you've got headings like that, you tend to stick within the headings. And sometimes the train of thought or the teaching just follows on. Sometimes even into the next chapter. Because when you've got to remember, when these things were written, they weren't written with punctuation marks. They weren't written with chapter breaks, verses. It was just one long piece of text. And very often, sometimes because... I appreciate what the translators have done for us. And I'm not taking anything away from their work. But sometimes when we follow chapter breaks, we follow headings, and we can miss something important. And this is just that's just a digression. But my Bible, I was going to go on to say, my Bible heads this up, a hymn of praise. That's where I was going with that. A hymn of praise. This is all about praise. It starts off in verse 1, and it says, towards the end of the verse, the beginning of the verse, so it says, O Lord, I will praise you. O Lord, I will praise you. This is a determined decision. I'm going to do something. I will praise you, O Lord. The word praise means to confess. It means to give thanks. It's talking about giving reverence and worship. When we praise something, we praise things all the time. We might praise our children when they do well at school or as they're coming through education. We say, well, that was a good job done. We might praise a workmate, or if we're in an employer, we might praise our employees and say, well, you did a good job. We praise one another. I might praise my wife when I say, well, the meal that she prepared was excellent. That's a form of praise. Now, it would sound very strange if all we did all the time is, I went around and I said, I praise you, Jane, praise you, Jane. And sometimes that's how we treat God. We just say, well, praise you, God, praise you, God. And, that has its place, but praise is much more than just uttering those words, praise God or praise you. As we will see as we go through this this hymn, this chapter here, we see praise is a little bit more than just saying, I praise you. Praise is to confess. It's to say something good. When we're praising God, to say something good about God. It's to give him thanks. The literal root word of this word here, praise, literally means with outstretched arms. And that's why we lift our hands when we're coming into praise time. Because it's something that is right that we do. Praise means literally to stretch out our hands. There's another word in the Bible which we often associate, we talk about when we talk with praise, and that's the word rejoice. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. In Philippians 4:4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And then he underlines it, as if we didn't hear it the first time. He said, and again he says, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Just emphasizing that point that we need to rejoice. We need to be praising people. That word rejoice, if you want the root meaning of that word, that literally means to jump for joy. To jump for joy. To rejoice. Well, let's just look at this this chapter here in Isaiah. Oh Lord, I will praise you. We've got to make that determined decision that we are going to praise God. It's the prophet Habakkuk, if you read it in Habakkuk 3, the last three verses, I think it starts verse 17. He goes through a catalogue of things that are going wrong in the land. He says, the fig tree isn't in blossom. There's no fruit on the vine. He says, the labour of the olive has failed. The fields have yielded no food. The flock's been cut off from the fold. There's no herd in the stalls. And he says, but yeah, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to give praise to God. It might all be appearing to be going wrong and everything's collapsing. You know, we're living in a time and a society where things are collapsing. You know, the euro is unstable. You know, there's economic crisis all over the world. You know, we can make that determined decision that we are going to praise God. You know, I will, Isaiah says, I will praise you. He says here, look, he says, though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away and you comfort me. You know, he was in a place where perhaps he'd done wrong. Yes, we were hearing this morning, you know, this is a day of good news, you know, we've got to do the right thing. You know, perhaps he'd been in that place where he hadn't done the right thing. And he says, God, he says, you're angry, you're allowing me to go through certain things. He says, but I'm going to praise you anyway. I will praise you. Why is it important to praise? Well, I want to look at six things tonight from this chapter, which tells us what praise does for us. We might think, well, we're praising God, we're giving God praise. Well, yeah, when we release praise to God, it does something to us. And we find it all in this chapter here. Let's go to verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. Let's just stop there. I will trust and not be afraid. You know, praise, when we praise God, praise focuses our faith on God. He says, look, he said, I'm going to trust in you. He said, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to trust in you. I will not be afraid. There's a scripture in Psalm 34, verse 4, and it says this. Well, Psalm 34, verses 1 to 4, really. It starts off in verse 1. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. And he says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. You know, when we release prayer, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Then verse 4 says, I sought the Lord and he heard me. Why is he? What's he doing? He's releasing praise to God. And God hears that praise. And it says, he delivered me from all my fears. You know, praise focuses our faith on God and delivers us from fear. Because fear is the opposite of faith. If we've got fear, we can't say we're in faith. Because they're at the opposite, two opposite poles of each other. One's the opposite. It's like saying you can't say something's black and something's white at the same time. There might be a mixture of both, but you can't say, well, can't say the chairs in here are red. Because some are blue. You can't say you're in faith if you're in fear. Amen. Somebody once put it like this. Fear contaminates our faith. Because the two just don't go together. I will trust and not be afraid. So praise focuses our faith on God. You know, when we're seeking God for something and we're believing God for something, I found it's really as an encouragement to me just to spend time and pray. You know, I'll get the guitar out or go to the keyboards or just shut myself away and just come before the Lord and praise him. And all of a sudden, sometimes things just become clear to me. You know, I get something, God gives me a word as I'm in praise, as I'm worshipping. You know, the word just drops into my spirit. And I think, well, there's the word I need to stand on. You know, that's where I can put my faith. Now, I'm not putting faith in the chorus book. The chorus book is great. A lot of the songs we sing are come direct from the scriptures. But don't put your faith in what somebody's written in a song. Put your faith in what God has said. Because that will bring you through. Now, the song might be an aid to bring you to the point where you actually get the word from God. You know, I love songs. Don't get me wrong, I write songs. I sing songs. I play songs. I'm a musician. But I don't trust the words of a song. I've seen some songs from some of the well-known songwriters. And I'm not going to name names, because you will know the songwriters. And you look at some of the songs, you think, oh, goodness me, you know, what are they writing? You know, it's so... some things, you think, you know, where's the word for that, what they're writing there? You know, where's the scripture that they're basing that on? Because some of them are so wishy-washy. You know, and perhaps they're written out of personal experience, and I can understand that. But we need the ground of God's word. You know, it's our praise. So praise will focus our faith. It will bring us to the word of God. I will trust and not be afraid. Then he goes on in this verse, in verse 2, he says, for Yah the Lord is my strength. Yah the Lord is my strength. You know something else praise does for us? Praise turns our weakness into strength. When we praise God, our weaknesses are turned around. You know, quite a few years ago, some of you will know my father, some of you would have known my mother. And my mum's now with the Lord. She went to be the Lord about 7 years ago. And I remember the night that, you know, she went home. You know, we were gathered around the bedside. You know, we spend the day together the following day as a whole family. There's my father and there's five of us of the children. And we just spent, the six of us just spent the whole day together on the Saturday morning or on the Saturday afternoon. And we got to the stage where, because none of us had slept all night, we'd been up all night with her, and, you know, she went home to bed all at 3 o'clock in the morning, so we had no sleep. You know, when I got home, I went home, we sort of wrapped up what we was talking about, sort of that tea time on the Saturday, and I drove home, and, you know, I don't even know whether I said anything to Jane when I got in or the children, but I just went to my bedroom. I remember going to my bedroom and, you know, as I just lay on the bed, just began to praise and had my Bible there. You know, I just needed something from God at that time. It just felt like something had just been wrenched away from me. But, you know, my mum had just gone home to be with the Lord, you know, missing her dearly. You know, there isn't a day that goes by that, you know, we don't think about her, or, you know, we don't miss her. We know we'll be reunited one day, you know, we're looking forward to that day. You know, but we find that time I found so weak in my spirit. You know, praise just lifted me. Whereas I began to praise, I've proved it many times. You know, if I've been down, or been, even after physical hard day's work, you know, just feeling so weak and so tired and so weary, you know, well, that's what the scripture says. You know, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. You know, they'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. Why, when we wait on God, when we release praise to Him, you know, God does something. You know, He turns our weakness into strength. You know, there's a beautiful verse in the Bible in Nehemiah 8 verse 10. It says, don't be sorrowful, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You know, when we release praise, you know, our weaknesses become God's opportunities. If he does something inside us. When we are weak, Paul says, when I am weak, then I am strong. Why? Because he knew the secret of just coming before the Lord. You know, just look at others in the scriptures that began to, as they released praise, you know, God just strengthened them and, you know, did something for them. The Apostle Paul is just one of those. And he knew what it was to suffer. He went through some trials, he went through some tribulations. You know, the Apostle Paul, well, you'll know this. He was shipwrecked. He was shipwrecked. Yeah. And from what I understand from reading the scriptures, that wasn't the first time. Yeah, because he talks about in torments, in shipwrecks, wrecks. So it wasn't the first time. You know, he went through some things. But he learned how to praise God. You know, there's a classic example in the book of Acts. If you want to turn up the book of Acts. Chapter 16. Now, I've got to be careful I don't jump ahead here. In Acts 16, we have a tremendous account. Paul and his preaching pal, Silas, were on a mission. They're preaching in Philippi. They'd seen some great things take place. You know, we would say today, the way we'd put it today, if we was writing the report, Paul didn't quite put it like this, but if we were writing the report, or say to Paul, Luke didn't put it like this. Now, Luke was a meticulous man. He wrote down details because he was a doctor. You know what doctors are like, you know, they pen everything. I don't know if they've looked at your medical report. But they write down everything. You know, we spoke about this. I said this. You know, we spoke on the phone about this. You know, I prescribed this. I told him to do this. He told me he didn't do it. They jot everything down. They're meticulous, these doctors. And Luke was a physician, so he did the same. But had he been writing today, he would have put it like this. You know, Paul and Silas preaching in Philippi. You know, great things were happening. You know, people were being saved. People were being healed. You know, miracles were taking place. Great things, revival had hit the town. That's how he'd probably write it. You know, the way we would talk. And then, on top of all this, there was this demon-possessed girl that followed them round for several days. And every time Paul looked at her, she would turn to him and she said, I know who you are. You know, you've come here to proclaim the way of salvation. You've come here to tell us how we can be saved. You know, I know who you are. This spirit spoke to him. You know, Paul tolerated this for a few days. He was a very patient man. You know, he put up with it. You know, she followed him around day after day for probably 3 or 4 days. And then he got fed up in the end. He just turned around and he said to the spirit, he just cast that spirit out in Jesus' name. And then, to cut the story short, you know, they were thrown in prison for it. And he could have sat there in prison. They could have been moaning and complaining. Well, God, you sent us here on this mission. You sent us to this place. You know, we've done what you told us to do. Let's get to the scriptures. Acts chapter 16. You've told us what you wanted us to do. We've done what you required of us. And now look at us. We're here in prison. And it goes on. That's what they could have been saying. It says here in verse 25, it says at midnight, nobody likes noise at midnight. They've had a bit of noise in the hotel where we're stopping this last couple of days. Well after midnight. Nobody likes noise at midnight. It says at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and complaining. Yes?
No.
They were praying and praising God. They were singing hymns. And they were doing it so quietly, just under their breath, so no one else could hear. They didn't want to wake the prisoners up, did they? What's it say? It says, and the prisoners heard them. You know, they learned the secret of praise. You know, God turned that situation completely around. He turned their weaknesses into strength. Why? Why does God do that? I'll tell you why. So he gets the glory. So he gets the glory. That brings us on to the next point I want to make. And actually, if you still got your finger in Isaiah, which I trust you did have, in verse 2 it goes on, it says, for Yah the Lord is my strength and my song. And my song. You know, praise does something else. It brings us the victory. And that's what Paul and Silas experienced there. You know, as they were praying and they're praising God, you know, God just broke into that cell. The shackles that were binding them fell off their hands and their feet. The prison doors flung wide open. They were, if they wanted to, they could get up and they could just walk straight out into the street. You know, they were free. You know, God opened the prison doors. And it wasn't just Paul and Silas. Everyone in the prison, all their chains were loosed. You know, God turned that situation into victory. Why? Because they chose to praise. They could have complained. They could have said, well, we've been dealt a rough deal here. You know, we came on God's command. We did what God told us to do. You know, all we've got out of it is a damp, miserable, stinking prison cell. But they didn't. They chose to praise. You know, what does praise do? It puts a melody in our heart. Puts a song on our lips. Do you know what that is? That's a victor's song. That's the song of victory. Have you ever heard a victorious, be it army, football team, whatever it is, someone that's victorious, you've never heard them, they don't mope around, do they? They sing, they shout, they get excited. You know, a victor has a song to sing. You know, we've got a song that we can sing because we've got the victory. You know, praise brings the victory. That happened at Jericho. You know the story of Jericho. Joshua. God told Joshua to have his men march around the city of Jericho. This was a fortified city. This was the strongest city in the whole of the land. Nothing could penetrate Jericho. I don't know how true it is, but I'm led to believe that archaeologists discovered that part of the walls of Jericho were about 8 feet thick. Well, there were houses built into the wall. Rahab's house was on the wall. Now, she lived within the confines of the wall, so it had to be a sizable structure, and nothing could ever penetrate that city. So God told Joshua, he said, look, he said, have your men march around the city. He said, I want you to do it. How many times?
Seven.
13. Read your Bibles. Once a day for 6 days. And on the seventh day, seven times. Seven and six is 13. 13. Once a day for 6 days. And do you not have to do this completely silent? Once a day for 6 days, completely silent. Then on the seventh day, God told him to do it seven times. Completely silent. Until they completed the seventh circuit of that city. And then they said, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, he says, I want you to shout as loud as you can. In other words, they've got to release that victory shout. And what happened as soon as that shout was released? The walls came crashing down. God gave them the victory. They ran into Jericho and plundered the city. We read another example in the book of Exodus, Exodus 15. The people of God had just come up out of Egypt. God had delivered them from Egypt. You know, they'd had a mighty victory there. You know, Pharaoh and his men had been put down. God had won the victory. They'd come up out of Egypt. They'd gone through the Red Sea, which was another mighty miracle. Yeah, sometimes I'm guilty of this, and I just assume other people are as well. Sometimes we just skip over some of these things, and we don't really give them much thought. But all these people coming up out of Egypt. Now, we don't know exactly how many there were, but the likelihood is that there was several million. There was a lot of people. Whatever the number was, there was a lot of people. And they came to this portion of the sea. And God had to blow a way through the sea for them. Now, how wide would that had to have been to get all these people across in one night? Well, God did what he said he would do. He blew the way through the sea. They came through the sea. You know, they had victory. God brought them out of Egypt. They had victory after victory. And then, as they got to the other side, they turned and they saw Pharaoh's armies trying to do the same thing. And the Bible says that Moses stretched out his rod over the sea, and the sea came back on top of them and drowned them. And all they saw of the Pharaoh's armies were the dead bodies on the seashore. And Miriam in Exodus 15, and this is verses 20 and 21. Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously, the horse and his rider he hath thrown into the sea." Now Miriam led the praise time. Why? Because of the victory. It was a victor's song, a victory song that she sang. You know, the horse and the rider have been thrown into the sea. You know, what a great God we serve. Let's press on, because time's running short on us. Still in Isaiah, verse 2. Chapter 12, verse 2. For Yah the Lord is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. He has become my salvation. You know, praise does something else for us. It puts us in remembrance of what God has done for us. Yes, we've been redeemed. The Psalm 107, verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. In other words, let the redeemed of the Lord release praise to God. You know, for what he has done. He's delivered us from the hand of the enemy. You know, we've come out from somewhere. We've come out of our spiritual Egypt. God has delivered us. You know, we've got something that we can thank God for. You know, so praise puts us in remembrance of what God has done for us. Praise also reminds us where we came from. When we start to thank God for what he's done, it reminds us, well, we're no longer in the pit. We're no longer on the road to hell. You know, God has done something so tremendous for us. He's translated us out of the kingdom of darkness and placed us into the kingdom of light. You know, God has done something for us, something good. We're reminded of all the good things when we begin to pray. You know, I had a situation a few years ago where I was driving in as it was in a van, my work van. You know, I value being in behind the wheel of a vehicle. It's a sacred place for me, the car. I was born again in a car. I was born again at the age of 5 years old, I was born again in the back of a car. So the car's always been, I've always found the most precious moments. Actually, and this is probably bad for me to confess this, being in sort of ministry, but some of my best times haven't been in church. They've been in the car. You know, as I've been alone with God, and I've just raised praise to God in the car. You know, the glory of God's just filled that car. You know, I haven't known, sometimes I haven't known the journey home. You know, sometimes you think, wow, you know, I don't remember driving through that town. I don't remember driving along that road. Why? Because the glory of God was so strong in the car, and I was just praising God. You know, this particular day I was driving home, and I just felt prompted in my spirit. I don't know why, but I just felt prompted just to release praise and just thank God for something that He had done for me. And as I did that, it seemed like every time I thank God for something, God dropped something else, you know, for me to thank Him for. You know, an hour and a half soon passed very quickly, and I'd done nothing but just give praise and thanks to God for every. You know, God just reminded me of things, even things when I was young. You know, things that I'd grown up. You know, places I'd been and things that I'd seen, things that God had done for me. Why? Because when we praise God, it puts us in remembrance of where we've come from and what God has done for us. Let's move on to verse 3. Praise draws from the wells of salvation. It says there, therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. You know, praise draws from the bountiful supply that there is in God. We're inheritors of salvation. You know, we can draw from the wells of salvation. You know, salvation is much more than just having our sins forgiven. You know, let's make that clear. You know, sometimes when people talk about salvation, we just say, well, we've been saved from our sins, you know, and that's it. Okay, well, that's part of it. Salvation encompasses much more than that. And we haven't got time tonight to go and look at it, but if you want to have a just look at the word salvation, get a good Hebrew and Greek lexicon or dictionary and just look up the word salvation. Can't remember what the Hebrew word is, but the Greek word is soteria. Look that word up. Just look it up and just do a word study on that word salvation. See what is involved in salvation. It talks about a total, a good way to do it, it's a total welfare package. You know, God looks after us. He's got everything in His hand where we're concerned. He's taking care of us. In our body, our soul, our body. He looks after our mind. He's got our well-being in His hands. And it's all part of salvation. You know, wherefore we draw joy, we can draw water out of the wells of salvation. We can drink from those wells. You know what, Psalm 103 says? It says this. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. In other words, say, you know, when we praise God, we bless Him, when we praise Him. You know, praise the Lord, O my soul. And with everything that's within me, I will praise His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. You know, there's benefits in salvation, and we're told not to forget them, but to thank God for them. You know, David could say those words, bless the Lord, O my soul. I won't forget one of the benefits of salvation. finally, something praise does for us. And we're going to jump now a couple of verses to verse 6. It says, "Cry out and shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst." I tell you what praise does, it brings God right into the heart of the situation. Whatever you're going through, when we praise God, we bring God Himself right into where we are. So if we're going through a tough time, don't grumble and complain, start to praise, because you bring God right into that situation. Do you know what the psalmist could say in Psalm 22? He says, "You are holy. You inhabit the praises of Israel." You inhabit the praises of it. That means that God makes His dwelling place where we praise Him. So it brings God right into the situation. Brings God into the midst. "For great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst." So when we praise Him, not only do we bring God into the midst, but we bring His greatness in as well. His power. That power to give us, to focus our faith. That power to turn around our weakness. That power that will bring us the victory. That power that will put us in remembrance of what God has done for us. That power that will draw from that bountiful supply. Praise brings God right into the heart of the situation. Now I skipped out two verses, verses 4 and 5. Because that just tells us how we can praise. We call on His name. You know, we do that through worship, through lifting up our holy hands. We declare His deeds among the people. A testimony is a good way to give Him thanks, to give Him praise. Just share what God has done for you. That's praising Him. You know, when I said earlier on about Jane being a good cook. Now I don't say, well, you know, yes, just praise you, Jane, or praise Jane, or that. She's a good. I'm giving her praise. I'm giving a testimony of something that is she's done. You know, declaring His deeds among the people, make mention that His name is exalted. We heard that this morning. You know, tell them it's in Jesus' name. Make mention that His name, you know, give exaltation to His name. Not to the church, not to a denomination, but to Jesus, to Him. He's the one. And finally it says there, sing to the Lord. Well, we read one in verse 6, didn't we? Cry out and shout. You know, it's good to have a good shout. I don't mean an argument. I mean a shout. Just take yourself off into the country. Take yourself up one of the hills. Onto some secluded part of the island. Just have a good shout. Shout to God. Give Him praise. Why? Because He is worthy to be praised.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Shall we give a hand to the Lord?
Yes.